So a couple of weeks ago, we launched a new series. I shared that I'm concerned for how followers of Christ handle it when the world doesn't like them. And if, as a follower of Christ, you say what is right about God and about the human person, then the world is not going to like you. The world is going to bring its resources that it has to bear against you. So we need to be prepared for that. So we're considering, what should we say about God? And what should we say about the human person? And what should we do to be prepared for the response that the world gives when we say what's right about God and about the human person? So we're using the Lord's Prayer just to frame our thoughts concerning what we should say about God. Doing that side first. Last week we talked about having a God, having our Father be in heaven. Just focused on that heaven side. Talked about heaven's rule and heaven's sovereignty. And it's a reminder when we say that our God is in heaven that for all of us we have givens. Things given concerning our person, things giving concerning our life, things given concerning our world that were given from heaven. Heaven decided, and heaven rules, and heaven's over us. And of course, the world's not very enthusiastic about having any givens concerning anything that came from heaven. But having a Father who is in heaven means that we have givens that came from God. Today, we want to consider just the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Often, perhaps even usually, we tend to frame desired outcomes with reference to ourselves. What would you want? What's a desired outcome for anything? We tend to frame those outcomes with reference to ourselves. We want something to result in us having fun or being entertained. We want something, the outcome of something, to just be that we feel good. We want government to result in liberty and justice for all. We want the government to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. You know, we want a good time to be had by all. You know, a successful event if a good time was had by all. We want things to result in personal fulfillment, personal happiness. Something fulfills you or makes you happy, a good outcome. We want to be all that we can be. We want to be all that you can be. I want to be all that I can be. We want to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Many of those things are probably good and desirable outcomes. I'm not criticizing them, but I am pointing out that we often frame desired outcomes by reference to ourselves. Desired outcomes are talked about with respect to ourselves. What's it going to mean for me? So to know if a desired outcome has been reached, check with us. That's how you know. That's how you answer the question. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm feeling good. I'm enjoying God. I feel free. Just check with me and I can tell you if outcome has been reached. So if we had fun, if we are fulfilled, if we're enjoying God, if we're happy, you know, you got the desired outcome. The first petition of the Lord's Prayer is significant and remarkable in that it articulates a desired outcome without reference to us. It's concerned for an outcome that doesn't reference us directly. The first petition of the Lord's Prayer is not a petition for anything for us. The first petition is not directly a petition about us doing anything. Rather, it's a petition for a state of affairs with respect to God. That's what the first petition of the Lord's Prayer is. I just want to call attention to how different that petition is from so many petitions that we make. We get together on Tuesdays to pray for us, to pray for LCF. We get there and we ask the question, so what do we got to pray about? We answer that question of what do we have to pray about by considering our own and other people's happenings. That's how we generate the list. We say, anything going on with the Schlenkers? No, they're good. Okay, nothing to pray about. Anything going on with the Kaczynskis? Oh, yeah, something going on with one of the Kaczynskis. Okay, let's pray about that. Anything going on with the Clancys? We just survey what we know as far as the happenings among us to generate our prayer list about things that we need to pray about. But this petition, this first petition of the Lord's Prayer, is not concerned with any of our happenings. I just want you to notice that. It's concerned with God's name. The petition is in the passive voice. The agent or the agency by which it comes about isn't explicitly mentioned. Of course, it is a prayer to the Father, so that clearly He will have something to do with it being granted, with it being fulfilled. But it's in the passive voice. We often use the passive voice when we don't want to focus on the means. The back bumper of the car received a dent. Why do you say it like that? Because I didn't want the focus to be on me backing the car into the pole. So I say the back bumper received a dent. You ever do something like that? Well, by who? So we often use the passive voice when we don't want the focus to be on the agent, the agency. The explicit focus of the first petition is for a desired end, without reference much to the agency by which it happens. It's a petition for a desired outcome. Certainly, it's a petition for an ultimate outcome, a petition for some final state of affairs. When everything is said and done, when the story is over, may His name be hallowed. But it's probably also a petition for an outcome that can be repeatedly realized. So it's not only the final, ultimate outcome that's being prayed about, but perhaps also the outcome for today. Maybe from our gathering, the Lord's name can be hallowed. So that's what the petition is. It's concern, the petition with reference to the Lord's name, that the Lord's name would be hallowed. Probably you already know what that means, and I want to linger too long at fleshing out hallowed. It's a prayer that the Lord's name would be great, that the Lord's name would be honored, that the Lord's name would be reverenced and esteemed and venerated. Think about when you stand on hallowed ground or these hallowed halls or something like that. They're just reverenced and esteemed and venerated. And there's overtones here of the holy. That's what the word means, of course. The sacred. Of something that's intrinsically worthy, like the divine. I think encountering holiness, the holiness of God's name, can very much help us both avoid and perhaps can correct us for a attitude and perspective that's pervasive around us, namely being a consumer of goods and services. That we can even come to the Bible, and it's easy to come to have a rather utilitarian view of God Himself, of your relationship with God, based on you as a good consumer and God as a provider of spiritual goods and services. God is seen like the ultimate handyman. You need help with your relationships? God can help you. You know, you need help with your health or with money? God will work something out. You need some advice or input about something that you're dealing with? God will be there with good counsel. So God becomes this great vending machine. You get this very utilitarian perspective. Many wonderful selections. C4, financial help. And of course, God is the source of many good things. God is the source of all good things. the source of everything that we need for life and for godliness. But God is not like the ultimate life depot store, where you can just go and pick up things at the depot that will serve you well and give you your life and your travels. I know of nothing that cures our consumer mentality more effectively than holiness. When you are on holy ground, you don't think like a consumer. When Moses was standing before that burning bush, he wasn't thinking, I wonder if I can market this for how to keep sand cool in the presence of burning bushes. And when you're on holy ground, you don't think like that. It doesn't occur to you to think in that utilitary profit, what can I get out of it? I need some goods and services. For one, when you're on holy ground, the reason you don't think about being a consumer is you're too worried about being consumed yourself. That changes how you think. But also just the majesty, the awe, the beauty of holiness just will fill you up with other things. Just cure you from that desire, how do I just get stuff? So it has an aura of holiness to it too. So here's kind of the point. You should want, you need to be a person where your first petition to your Heavenly Father is not a petition for yourself, not even a petition for others, but that your first petition to your Heavenly Father is a petition for His name. For His name to be hallowed. I think it's good for us all to regularly pray the Lord's Prayer just because it works to teach us. It works in us the understanding, the desire too, perhaps, that our first petition to God is not, I need stuff. Nor Brenda needs stuff. But that our first petition, our first desire, our first call to our Heavenly Father is for His name. I hope that for you within creation, there are some things, just the wonder of that thing, the joy of that thing. You know, when you just knowing that thing, you go, you know, it's enough. Just enough that that thing exists. Of course, to see something or experience something, you have to experience to know about it. So somehow you have to know about it. But there's something, it's not your experience of it, that's the main point of your enjoyment or your delight or your wonder. It's just that it exists. It's just that it's there. It's what it is. I'm glad that Lake Superior is there. I haven't seen it in years. I hope nobody's messed it up. But I'm just glad that it's there. I'm glad there's lots of northern stuff, because I like northern stuff. I'm just glad it's there. Occasionally I get to see it, and it's a great treat. But I'm good just because it's there. Just that it exists. I hope you have those kinds of things. Actually, if I would embarrass you and myself probably but I feel sometimes that way about you. I'm glad I know you and I'm glad we have a relationship, but I think it's cool that you're just there. Just who you are with all your goofy foibles. But that you know God and that you're His child. Just that you're there. That's enough. I hope you have those kinds of things among people and among God's creation. But I hope something gets deeply instilled in you that you're that way with respect to God's name. My first request isn't about myself, about things I need, help I want in my life, or even about others. I just want God's name to be hallowed, to be higher than anything else, the holiness of it, the beautiness of it. Just want that's enough. I think God's name in its rightful place will fill anybody, certainly believers, with just wonder and joy, delight. It's enough. If our Father's name is hallowed. When Paul says this in Romans, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. Part of me thinks all you need to do is look in the United States to find everybody a liar, but that's a side point. But Paul's desire is, he loves lots of people and cares about lots of people, but including himself, I want what were necessary for all of us to be found to be liars. I want God to be found to be true. That's somebody who wants God's name to be hallowed. You want to become that kind of person. You know, that you yourself would say, let every man be found false. Let every man be found to be a liar. Let God be found to be true. We should be people who say that kind of thing to the world, too. You should say to the world, you know, world, the main thing isn't you. The main thing is the Lord's name being hallowed. That who he is and that what he does would be honored and reverenced and venerated by all of his creation. He is the main deal. Go try saying that to the world and probably won't get many hugs. But we need to be people who say that to the world. He is the main deal, and his name being hallowed is the main desired outcome for the whole show. So I promise to highlight each week just an application. It's often, of course, the applications to the things we say about God that get us in trouble with the world, that you'll suffer some opposition and persecution because. So last week, just a Father in heaven means we have givens. That was my application. Not everything is by our willing. Not everything is by our determination. Because heaven is there, and heaven decides some things. Heaven determines. Heaven says what marriage is. Then ask us. Heaven decided. It's a given. You can violate it, you can disagree, you can do whatever you want, but it's given from heaven. So an application, just one application for us from the first thing being that his name would be hallowed, is that you and I are meant to be, that you and I ought to be, worshipers. Of the many things that would be needed in order to describe you, man, woman, son, daughter, husband, wife, friend, prophet, teacher, evangelist, accountant, engineer, parent, Dodger fan, athlete, scholar, student, artist. Of the many things that we would need to give a full description of you and who you are, I think you should want to be. I want you to know that you are meant to be. The thing that's most appropriate and most right for you to be is you need to be a worshiper of God. If we leave everything else off on your tombstone, except we put your name was a worshiper of God, you hit the main thing. You did the main thing. You were the thing that you were meant to be, that you were created to be. Being a worshiper, of course, is not something that tends to captivate the American imagination. Because worshipers don't make anything happen. Worshipers don't get things done. Worshipers are not known for their accomplishments, nor admired for their abilities. Worshippers are usually on their face or on their knees with their head bowed. That doesn't get anything done. So they're not admired in the American imaginations. Worshippers bow their head and worship. Worshippers fall down on their face and worship. The world would be okay if you were looking out for number one as long as you're number one. The world won't be okay if you bow in reverence before the one whose name is hallowed. The world won't be okay with that. But it's the right thing for each of us to do, and the thing most appropriate for each of us to do. So I just want you to hear, you were meant. You were created to be a worshiper. If I can stir that desire in you with respect to the greatest outcome, is his name is going to be hallowed. Well, where does that leave me? Leaves each one of us with an opportunity to worship the one whose name is hallowed. From Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well, remarkable verses. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. That's a treasure right there, to know what the Father himself seeks. The Father's not anxious about the next iPhone, nor the 1990 cars, or who's going to win the World Series. The Father does seek worshippers. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So I just want to encourage us. Here's the application. No matter how important you are, you might be very important for getting a lot of things done, might carry a lot of responsibilities. No matter how smart you are, no matter how accomplished you are, no matter how old you are, no matter how admired you are by others, no matter how much money you have, no matter your age, no matter your lineage, you know, no matter your personality type, you were created to be a worshiper of God. So whatever else you do in life, wherever else you go, whatever else you say and whatever else you accomplish, you'll have missed everything if you don't bow your head in worship. Each one of us needs to just put our face by those hallowed feet and worship him. So there's my application. So next week, the music might be awful. I might have nothing to say. The air conditioner could be broke. Your favorite show is on TV. It would be good if you were able to say, I'm going to go and worship him. With the awful music, the lousy speaker, the hot room, missing my favorite TV show, and do the thing I was created for and go worship him. And of course, you don't always have to come here to worship him. I'm not saying that. I just want that to be on our radar screen. I am meant to be a worshiper of God. Because the ultimate outcome is for his name to be hallowed. So our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name.